Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living, so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world, a world that does not know God, a world that is in deep need of more love? Take a look around. There's a lot of bad news out there. How can I take the good news and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day, and that's what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Today we are considering a very, very important gospel as we consider the fourth week of Lent. Let us quiet our minds. It is my prayer for you. It is my prayer for me that God will speak to us. God will speak to you through this word. The question is, are you ready to listen? It's a long gospel. So let us pay attention. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay with his saliva, and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one that used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, it just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How are your eyes open?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened up your eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." Now, the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. And they asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? And how does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, they would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind, and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open up your eyes?" And he answered, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't know where this man came from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what's so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened up my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not of God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered, "You are born totally in sin, and yet you're trying to teach us?" And they threw him out. When Jesus heard that he had been thrown out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said, "You have seen him. He is the one speaking with you." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who see might become blind." The word of the Lord. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today, our gospel is all about being blind or being able to see. It's about light versus darkness. It's about life versus death. I guess what I'm trying to say is this is really an either or issue. You either is or you ain't. There simply is no middle of the road here. You are either blind or you see. You are either walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. It's either life or it's death, my friend. So this is serious. This is as serious as it gets. We really need to get this one right. So you know how I always chirp on and on about context, all about context, got to read scripture in the context of what it appears, and that is true. But today is a rare exception because our gospel really needs no context because it's all right here. It is the perfect metaphor of the human condition. We have actual blindness. We have spiritual blindness. We have eternal life. We have eternal death. So let's go. Jesus passed by and saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, that might seem an odd question to you and I, but this was the theology of the day. Any kind of physical or mental handicap was seen as God's wrath punishing somebody's sin. But Jesus responds, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It was so the works of God may be made visible through him," which that's a curious thing to say. It seems to be suggesting that God made this man blind so that someday Jesus could walk by and heal him, which raises another issue. When tragedy strikes the innocent, maybe a child dies, or maybe somebody catches a deadly disease, or maybe somebody dies in a fiery car crash, and they were a good person, and the idea that somehow this was God's will, the idea that God has called them home because it was their time, leaving people to ask, well, if there is a God, how could he allow such evil? It seems so unfair. I mean, I've been asked this question many times. And the answer to that question lies in the gift of free will. God loves us so much that he gave us free will, which means he loves us so much that he created us with the ability to not love him back. That is our choice. This is what free will is. And free will comes with the possibility of rebellion. We see rebellion first with Lucifer, an angel, who chose to become rebellious. Later, Adam and Eve would take that same will and stand at the foot of a tree and, like Satan before them, become rebellious. And sin was born into this world. Of course, sin is defined as anything that is outside of the will of the Father, and it has caused chaos. We call this the fall. And you don't have to look too far to see how far this world has fallen. All around us, we have a whole menu of rebellion. And you know, the number one symptom of rebellion, the calling card of sin, if you will, is blindness. Now, it's one thing to be blind and know you're blind. Because if you know you're blind, then you can somehow learn to navigate your blindness. But what happens when you're blind, yet you think you can see? Well, then, my friend, you are walking in darkness. Jesus is not saying that God causes blindness. What he's saying is that when we are lost in sin, the works of God can be made visible through us as we begin to see, which creates a whole new question. Because if you're not blind, how could God make you see? Just as if you're never lost, how could you be found? In other words, without sin, there would be no need of being saved. But don't worry. Nobody around here has anything to worry about because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But getting back to our gospel today, Jesus comes upon this blind man, and he spits in the ground and makes clay with the saliva and smears the clay into the eyes of the man and says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Now, the pool of Siloam, which is just outside the temple, is used for ritual cleansing. Sheep would often be washed in this pool prior to being sacrificed in the temple. Now, don't confuse the pool of Siloam with the pool of Bethesda. You know, the one where the angel stirs up the water and brings healing properties? That's not this pool. So this guy, this man, has zero expectation of actually being healed. All he knows is that some stranger came by, put mud on his eyes, and told him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And he does. Which kind of puts its finger on another issue. He was told to do something, and he does it. How often people will come to me with a problem. Maybe a relationship problem. Maybe a financial problem. Maybe a health problem. And I might suggest to them, you know what you need to do? You need to get up when you wake up in the morning for a week. You need to get out of bed, kneel at the foot of your bed, and cry out loud. Pray out loud, "God, I want your will in my life today." That's all you have to say. "Whatever you want from me, God, that's what I want." How long does that take? Just a few seconds. Now, this might not change your circumstances, but it'll definitely change you for your circumstances. Because when you honestly seek his will in your life, God will reveal himself to you and make his works manifest and visible in you. And here's the deal. So many people won't do it. I mean, maybe they'll do it a day or even two, but they're not going to do a whole week. Or maybe I might suggest, "Hey, why don't you read the 9th chapter of John?" And they might think, "Well, that sounds like a good idea. I'll do that. Yeah, I'll get to it." But they won't read it. Why? Because so many of us are blind, yet think we can see just fine. It's called natural blindness. And we all got it. It comes from original sin, which is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We all think we know what is good. We all think we know what is evil. We think we can see. But this is clearly not the case with our blind man today. He knows he can't see. So he does exactly what he's told to do, and now he can see. Can you imagine? Wow. His whole life in darkness, and now he sees the light. So what's the first thing he does? He goes home to the people who know him. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." Others said, "Nah, it just looks like him." Really, isn't it amazing the lengths we will go to when we're confronted with a truth that we don't understand? Like I said, natural blindness. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we will continue to consider this amazing gospel and how we might be able to apply this word into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Not just for the break, I had made the point that we are all born into a natural state of blindness. A fact that's very difficult to point out to a non-believer. Because they're going to say, "Oh, I see just fine." In fact, they're going to get angry. Why? Because the light came into this world, but the people preferred darkness because their works were evil. Now, understand, I'm not saying that people roll out of bed and say, "Well, today I'm going to be really evil." I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that it is a fact that we are born in a natural state of blindness. Now, complicating the matter is the fact that there's a force in this world that very much wants to keep us blind. I call it satanic blindness. And while the evil one will use many, many different ways to try to keep you blind, the number one factor that causes satanic blindness, by far, is the fear that somehow you're not going to be happy if you give up a particular sin. This is the biggest reason people refuse to seek Jesus. Won't even try. This fear that somehow, well, I'm going to have to give up something. Jesus is going to limit my freedom. He's going to try to control me, make me feel guilty. This is the lie that Satan whispers in your ear every day. You're not going to be happy without that sin. It's called satanic blindness. Like I said, there's many, many different ways that the evil one does this. We see it on full display with our religious leadership here today in our gospel. They're presented with the most incredible miracle they've ever seen. A man who has never seen in his life now sees. And what do? They find a glitch. A fly in the ointment. He did it on a Sabbath. And that's all they needed to know, just that one detail. He did it on a Sabbath. Case closed. Don't like the message? Shoot the messenger. That is satanic blindness. So they bring the guy in. So what do you think about the guy who healed you? And he says, "Well, I think he's a prophet." Meaning he hears from God because he comes from God. And well, they don't like that. Then after grilling his parents, and that's particularly sad when they bring in the parents. They grill his parents and they're like, "Well, ask him. So they bring him back. And they say, "What did he do to you?" How did he open up your eyes? And I love this, because he says, I answer you already. I already told you, but you didn't listen. And boy, isn't that true. The calling card of natural blindness influenced by satanic blindness is that no matter how much truth you are presented with, you're not going to hear it. Why? Because we prefer the darkness. I told you. You didn't listen. Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to be his disciple too? And I can't help it. This guy's getting just a little bit of pleasure out of this moment. All his life, they've been looking down at him. And now he's in front of them and they hear nothing. And what do they say? You were born totally in sin, yet you're trying to teach us. And they throw him out. They throw the truth out. Get out of here. And of course, this continues today. Get the truth out of our politics. Get the truth out of our schools. Get the truth out of our justice system. Get the truth out of our religion. Get the truth out of my ethic. So, we all have natural blindness. We're born with it. It is influenced by satanic blindness, which comes from the evil one. But there's a third blindness, and this is very curious, a bit confusing, what I call divine blindness. And Paul writes about this. The God of this age blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Or Matthew writes about it in chapter 11, I praise you, Father of heaven and on earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, but revealed them to the merest of children. Why would God do that? I'm just talking. I don't know, okay? But it is clearly the case. I know this, that if you sit with Scripture and try to see the truth through purely intellectual and logical means, you see nothing. There are many an intellectual out there that know all about Jesus, but have never met him. And I think that God causes divine blindness to show us that it is only through the Holy Spirit that Christ is truly revealed, and he's only revealed to the ones who truly seek him. Back to our religious leadership. Despite this amazing miracle, they refuse to believe. Why? Well, according to the prophet Isaiah, they could not believe because he has made their eyes blind and hardened their hearts. This is divine blindness. If you live in darkness long enough, if you reject the light long enough and love the darkness, eventually, you will be cut off from the light. That is divine blindness, and that is the wide road. So they throw the guy out. Get out of here. Jesus heard that he had been thrown out, and he found him. And he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Of course, Son of Man is the title that he used the most to describe himself. It's a messianic title. In other words, do you believe that God put his finger into the middle of human history in the form of a man? And I love the response. Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus responds, you're looking at him. And he responds, oh, I do believe. So let's review. The first step to spiritual sight would be divine intervention, because notice, the man wasn't out there looking for Jesus. No, it was Jesus who looked for him, and he found him, just as he will find you. So the first step is divine intervention. The second step is I believe. It's called faith. And I'm not talking about a set of beliefs. I'm not talking about the way you worship. I'm talking about what happens when God puts his finger into the middle of your heart and you have a decision to make. And that decision is all about your will. What are you going to do with that wild stallion we call will? What is the Father's will for you? To believe in his Son. That's his will. That's faith. So number one, divine intervention. Number two, I choose to believe. Number three, I'm changed. Because hear me when I say, spiritual sight will change you. The greatest response you can give God is change. When Paul had his big experience on the way to Damascus and the scales fell off his eyes, what happened? He saw everything differently. Seeing the light will change your heart. It will remove the desire to sin. It will remove the flavor of sin. And the light will not limit you. No. It frees you. You will lose the taste for the darkness. And all those things you were so afraid to give up, you're not going to miss them. Because spiritual sight does not bind you up. No. It cuts you loose. So, my friend, what about you? Are you walking in darkness today? Let us recognize our blindness and seek the light of Christ, who can save us from ourselves. Let us repent. Let us turn. Because like the prodigal father waiting on the porch for his son, Jesus is keeping an eye out as he waits on you. Won't you come out of your darkness and seek the light today? Let us rise and return to our Father. Let us put ourselves in a position to be found. Ask Jesus to reveal his will for your life today. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, without faith, you don't have a prayer. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.